July 10th, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in 1 Kings. We're in chapter 19, looking at verses 1 through 16, part 2 of yesterday's message titled, Elijah, a Man Like Us.
Where are you today? Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Psalm 42. Put your hope in God. There's no reason to be. It's His work. It's His work. It's His word. It's His success. So arise. Eat and drink, He says. Eat and drink the crucified body and shed blood of our Lord who went to the cross and died for you and overcame it all.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
Done with this. I give up. I quit. He's really saying that there. I'm done. This has put me over the top. Who can handle this? I think it's Matthew Henry, a wise writer, once said, just because one has great faith, it does not mean that faith is always strong. He is launched into depression. He's sleeping. He's given up on the call. He's at the lowest spiritual moment of life. The lowest spiritual moment of life. This great man Elijah, who is just like us. And when you see the big picture to this all, he's suffering what amounts to spiritual depression and the result of, which I mentioned earlier, is an intense spiritual assault. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Through the darkness of Jezebel. And notice where the pathway takes him. The pathway takes him to run as far away from it all as he can. Comes to a place of total emptiness, weariness, fatigue. How could you not be just wiped out from all this? Overwhelmed by all the troubles and all the opposition. Overwhelmed by it all. Overwhelmed. So much so that his prayer is, kill me. Well, just like anyone who serves the Lord, no one goes into the ministry who has the sense of the internal call and then the external confirmed. No one goes into the ministry with the expectation of failure. You go in speaking on God's behalf, right? And you're doing the work of speaking on God's behalf here prophetically as a prophet of the old covenant to turn the hearts of the people back to the Lord. That's the goal of prophetic ministry, to turn them back in repentance to the Lord. The expectation is success. We all want success. And that just happened at Carmel. But now, it's always the political turmoil of the times, right? The head of the snake rears its head. Why does God seem to give great victories only to experience immediately after what seems like insurmountable problems? Setbacks. Why can't they just go smoothly? Why after this does just around the corner this come? There are breaking points. There are moments when we certainly have misunderstood the verse, but we certainly have faced things we cannot handle. Doesn't mean he can't handle it for us. Twice in the text, verbatim, the cry comes out, the complaint comes out. I have been very zealous for the Lord of hosts because the children of Israel have broken your covenant. Who? Torn down your altars. They hated your worship. This has always been the history in the history of the church all throughout Old Testament. They hated God's worship. They were never content with it. They scowled at it. So they did their own worship. And they killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left. Now they want to kill me. Well, that's kind of similar to ministry, isn't it? Pretty similar to ministry. If you look at the state of the church or the state of the kingdom of God, do things ever really seem healthy? Do they? Does it ever seem like there's progress? Maybe at times. Maybe you get moments. Maybe you get windows in history. But don't, isn't the constant sort of perennial question that comes about with all the ups and downs, is this even working? Is this really working? I've been zealous for you, he says. What does that mean? I was zealous about true worship. Oh yeah, there's true and false worship. I was zealous for you. I was zealous for the holiness of God. I went into all of this wanting to see people return to the Lord and fear him properly and know him. Well, what has the whole course of ministry been like? One trouble after another. Look at the biblically illiterate times we are in. Where is conviction anymore? Do people even study theology? Do we ever check out a theology book? Who fears and reverences God? Oh, no, no. No, idolatry and false worship's everywhere. We won't even admit it. Political corruption marks our time. It never ends. And on every side, there's opposition. That's experience. That's our experience. And so many don't even seem to care. Now, when you look carefully at the words of Elijah, what you will see here is not only great exaggeration, but that much of this simply isn't true. Most of all, what we see that has happened to Elijah that created this spirit is a man full of self-pity. He runs as far away from God as he can in the calling. He's alone. And then he says, I'm not better than one of my fathers. What does that mean? I've achieved nothing. I've been zealous for the Lord. I alone, by the way. I'm the one who rose up above all this. I alone am left. And now they all want to kill me. How's that for ministry? Which wasn't true. I mean, the remarkable thing was at Mount Carmel, Israel returned. The rain came back. Is he not taking the success of the kingdom of God on himself? Is he not taking the success of the kingdom of God on himself? I've accomplished nothing, and he's weary to the point where he says, I'm done. I give up. Nothing is good. Well, there's a reason James says he's a man like us. I think you see how much his experience parallels ours right here. Most likely there are maybe a good portion here sitting here frustrated because life has not gone as expected as a Christian. With your marriage, with your children, and something happens in the course of life, big, it's really hard, that's a breaking point. You can sit in this state a long time where Elijah is. Please understand that. Overwhelmed, depressed, despondent, weary, done. Conflict, conflict, conflict. It's these moments that a trajectory takes place. We run too. I'm not talking about running to some desert, but we check out spiritually from it all. We don't find joy in hearing the word. We find it a chore to come to church. Energy is lost. We don't pick up one hand to help anyone. We find ourselves distant, uninterested. We think none of this works. Triggered by some disappointment or sorrow. And then you begin to preach the sermon to yourself, your own sermons. You know you preach to yourselves. Here's what it sounds like. No one understands what I'm going through. I've been a faithful servant in the church and kingdom, and this is the result. What is my life achieving? I don't need this. I didn't ask for this. Is this the result of my labors? And right there, you will find that you've departed. Maybe finding no purpose, maybe not wanting to live. Just when things might be well, we're hit. We isolate. We become weary, tired, fearful, thinking your life's accomplished nothing. That is the path of self-pity. That is the path of self-pity. Now, why I chose this text today is to radically offset your God and how he handles him. This is kind of overwhelming. When you stand back from this, you see how wonderful he is. There is no sense of anger at Elijah here. None. There's a promise throughout Scripture. Those who wait on the Lord and renew their strength shall what? Mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. God loves his people. God loves his people. And there's a reason Scripture says Christ is a sympathetic high priest. But I want you to notice how God loves him. And the first thing I want to highlight here is how he comes to him. And there's different ways the Lord works here throughout this whole struggle of Elijah. But verse 8 tells us that he came to Horeb. First thing I want to focus on, the mountain of God. And you stop and you say, what a history. That's Sinai. All alone out there at Sinai. None of God's people. Eerie. Imagine standing there. They're still trying to find the place. It's a curious way the cave is described in verse 13. It's called the cave. It's the cave. And I think I'm convinced by many of the scholars on this that the prophet stood in the cleft of the rock where Moses stood years ago. He goes right to the cleft. And as that glory passed by Moses so many years ago, we have the same repeat here. Verse 11 says that God told him to stand on the mount before the Lord, but at first Elijah won't come out. We read that, behold, the Lord passed by just as he did Moses. And what do we read there? It's really powerful that the Lord passed by and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. The Lord was not in these symbols of judgment. The surprise here is where the Lord was. Where was he? It's a great moment. It's a great moment. We read that after these great displays, I mean, he's blowing the mountain to bits. Elijah's back in the cave hiding. Blowing the mountains to bits. And after all these displays, fire, earthquake, rocks splitting, a still small voice, a slight whisper. God came and was with him in the most unexpected way. Here's what I want to emphasize with this. Almost all silence. Near silence. That's not how God should work, is it? Oh, it's so important. See, he does not deliver, nor is he with us in the displays of power we think he should be. He could have crushed Jezebel in a moment. The dogs will lick her blood soon. It's almost as if this is a death and resurrection scene. It's just my take. I see it. As soon as the symbols of judgment, he comes out and stands before the Lord. And think about what God was communicating to him. I am near to you, Elijah, in my word. I am near to you in my word. That's where there's power, Elijah. This is what I've wanted people to understand the whole ministry. It's hard for some reason. I think if people really believe that, I don't know why anyone would sit home and eat popcorn on Sunday during a service. If it's really believed that the power is in the word, that strength comes from the word. If we appreciate that, our whole attitude will change to the church. You're not running off just for the bands. No, that's foolish. What appears as weak, what appears as small, is not inactivity. You've taken way too much on yourself. You are bringing my word, Elijah. Do you know what that's doing? It's crushing kingdoms. Did not God say to Jeremiah, my word is like a hammer that does what? It's like a fire is my word, and my word is like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. And that's the probing question of the text today. How powerful is his word in near silence? Where are you? A place of solitude? Trying to escape it all? Psalm 42 says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Why are you here? Why are you running? You could ask the question in many ways. Why are you doing that sin? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you giving up? Why are you so empty? Do you think I've abandoned you? Says the Lord. What's being spoken to you right now? Do you think I'm not working? And all this frustration you have with the state of things? Do you think this is a failure? The truth is, you've made this way too much about you. You're wrong. I've preserved 7,000 that have not bowed down the knee to Baal. Oh, it may look dark, but things are going just according to plan. I am saving. Why are you here, Elijah? Why are you here? Why are you in the place you are? Go anoint these people I send you to, Elijah, and watch my plan unfold. When you're weary, when you're downcast, when you're at wits' ends. Did you notice what he said? When Christ was with us, he held out his hands and he said, "All you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden's light." He's the prophet like unto Moses, who walked right to the cross for you. He didn't run. I plan to complete the story tonight to close this and go to the supper right now. But I promise you, you're going to see something and I'm going to whet your appetite just for a minute to show you how wonderful this is. What happens to Christ on the cross? When he says, "Eli, Eli," they say, "Wait, stop. He's calling Elijah. Maybe Elijah will come save him." Remember what happened? Then he breathed his last. I'm giving it all away. Just come anyways. And then he breathed his last. Ready? And the earth shook. And the rocks were split. And the tombs opened. It's a whole repeat of 1 Kings 19, Matthew 27, where we land tonight. Elijah forgot the mission. But along the way, Christ did something else for his weary sheep. Close on this. Verse 5. As Elijah was sleeping, the angel of the Lord came and touched him and said, "Arise and eat." And there was food for him and drink. And he did it again. And we read that he arose and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights, the whole period of testing. You see, beloved, he does the same for you today. He speaks his word. He calls you back to him. But in your great weariness and discouragement and times of despair, what does he do for you? You know what he says? Arise and eat. Eat and drink. I have a supper for you. Where are you today? Why are you so downcast, oh my soul? Psalm 42. Put your hope in God. There's no reason to be. It's his work. It's his work. It's his word. It's his success. So arise. Eat and drink, he says. Eat and drink the crucified body and shed blood of our Lord who went to the cross and died for you and overcame it all. Come believing, and do not be unbelieving, but believing, and taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for your word to us, and thank you for this powerful word that shatters the rocks into bits. Feed us now, and let us see Jesus, the greater than Elijah for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
That's all the time we have for you today. We thank you for joining us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Be sure to tune in next time to hear more from Pastor Chris. Thanks again. Until then, God bless.